Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online, After Midnight.
Some people grow up haunted by memories, others grow up haunted, period. For him, the haunting didn't belong to a single house or a piece of furniture or some cursed patch of land. It belonged to him. Wherever the family went, Pennsylvania, Colorado, back again, the strange followed like a scent only the dark could smell. He used to tell himself he was imagining it, that each new house carried its own noises, its own restless pipes, its own explanations. But after a while, the pattern became too precise to ignore. No matter the address, the activity always found him, patient and punctual as a tax collector. The first real proof came in Pennsylvania. They'd moved there when his father took a military posting, another temporary stop in a line of temporary stops. The neighbors told them right away the house was haunted. His parents laughed, but even at 16, he could tell when someone wasn't joking. The neighbors didn't say it for effect. They said it like they were warning him about traffic on the corner. "You'll hear things," they said. "Don't let it worry you." For a while, he didn't. The house was older, sure, with floors that groaned like old men. But nothing happened. Until it did. It was about 3 in the morning, the hour when everything gets its turn to sound wrong. He was just heading to bed when exhaustion hit like a wave. He didn't even shut his door, just fell face first onto the covers. A second later, the house woke up. Footsteps, quick, heavy, human, charged down the hallway toward him. He shot upright, heart hammering, but there was nothing to see. The steps kept coming faster, louder, until they hit his doorway and stopped. The air moved. A blast of warmth hit his face like someone had exhaled inches away. That was it. The sound ended, but the room held its breath for him. He didn't sleep again that night. He didn't sleep much for a long time after. By Christmas, he'd learned to live with the tension, the way people learn to live with a storm that won't leave. They were setting up decorations outside one evening when his parents had to leave to pick up his sister from practice. He stayed behind, watching the front yard from his window because, for reasons he couldn't explain, he felt like he should. The yard looked normal, plastic reindeer, a line of lights, the soft blue dusk of winter. Then at the edge of his vision, something moved. He thought at first it was a reflection, a trick of light. It was transparent, almost invisible. But when he turned his head, it stopped, as if caught looking back. For a moment, he saw it clearly enough to know it wasn't nothing, a human shape, thin as smoke, turning toward the house. Then it started walking straight for the front door. He froze. Maybe it was a shadow, he thought, a neighbor, someone passing by. Then came the knock, three times, calm, deliberate, the kind of knock that expects an answer. He moved just enough to see the front door from his window. There was nothing there. No shadow, no neighbor, no prankster waiting for a laugh. Still, the knocking continued. The sound was unmistakable. He watched the handle, half expecting it to turn. When it stopped, the silence that replaced it was almost worse. He waited for his parents' headlights to appear in the drive. When they finally did, he ran downstairs and met them outside. He didn't tell them what happened, not that night. A year later, the military uprooted them again, Colorado this time. New house, new base, same routine. At first, nothing. A year of peace. Then one night, he and his brother sat talking about ghosts. His brother was in college and mentioned how the lamp in his dorm room would turn on and off by itself when he was alone. They laughed about it, right up until the light in their own room started doing the same. It wasn't a flicker. It was deliberate. On, off, on again. The bulb was fine, the lamp almost never used. The switch clicked by itself in perfect rhythm. They stared at it, neither speaking. Then it stopped as cleanly as it had started. They checked for a draft, for bad wiring, for anything that would let them stay rational. Nothing. The lamp behaved for the rest of their stay like a dog that knows it's made its point. 15 months later, they moved again, just across the neighborhood, into a larger house on the same base. He told himself it would be different. It wasn't. His new room had two beds, one for him and one for his brother when he came home on break. The moonlight favored the right bed, pooling in silver over his blanket each night around midnight. He liked it that way. It felt calm, familiar. Until the night, the shadows started moving. At first, he blamed deer. The base was surrounded by woods, and deer wandered through constantly. But this was different. The shadows shifted with intent, sliding along the walls in shapes that didn't match branches or antlers. By the fifth night, he knew it wasn't animals. Deer didn't linger. Deer didn't make the kind of laughter he heard, faint but real, in the pauses between movement. Finally, he forced himself to look. The window opened to a small porch, its beams rising from the ground to the roof above. When he pulled the blinds back, the yard looked still at first, dark trees, faint wind. Then, behind one of the porch supports, a face leaned out, pale, white, human, but not. The eyes were what froze him, fixed, gleaming, aware. The mouth curved up in a sneer that didn't belong to any expression of amusement he'd ever seen. He stared long enough to feel stupid, long enough to want it to vanish. It didn't. It just stared back. Then, as if deciding to remind him who was in charge, the eyes widened. He turned every light in the room on, closed the blinds, and sat in the corner until morning. After that, he never slept with the blinds open again. The laughter came back sometimes, about one night in four, always from the trees, always just far enough away to make him doubt it was meant for him. And then came the dream. He was walking out the back door in the morning light. The air was ordinary. The day was calm. But there was a man sitting at the table by the door, a man wearing a bright yellow mask. He was reading a newspaper, his hands steady. When he looked up, he started laughing. Not cruelly, just knowingly. He woke up before reaching the door, heart racing, the echo of that masked laughter filling the dark room around him. It stayed with him for years, that dream. It wasn't just fear, it was recognition. Because the laugh had been the same one from the woods. By the time they moved into the next house, the pattern had become predictable. One quiet year, and then something wakes up. He told himself it was coincidence. He told himself, ghosts don't keep schedules. But he still caught himself counting down the months. The new place was better, bigger, newer, full of light. He liked it immediately, right up until their boxes were unpacked. That's when the peace began to fray. It always started the same way. With the smallest wrongnesses, A sense of movement when he turned his back, the weight of air shifting before a sound arrived. The faint impression that something was learning the layout faster than they were. At night, the house seemed to breathe differently. He'd fall asleep to the hum of the bass beyond their windows, airplanes in the distance, a dog barking, the clean mechanical rhythm of the world outside. But beneath it all was another pulse, slower, human, inside the walls. He never told his parents. His father's work was stressful enough, and they'd long since filed his stories under imagination. His brother was away at school again, his sister too young to believe or care. That left him to measure the nights by how loud the quiet got. It began with light, a flicker against his wall, bright enough to make him open his eyes. He thought it was a car at first, a headlight sweeping through the trees. But when he checked, the road was empty. The light wasn't coming from outside, it was coming from the ceiling. The bulb above his desk clicked on by itself, then off. On again! Off! He stared frozen in the half-dark, waiting for a short-circuit pop or the smell of burning dust. Instead, the switch moved, slowly, down, then up again. He watched the metal tab shift as if pushed by a finger he couldn't see. He tried to tell himself it was a wiring issue, but the memory of his brother's old story crept back, the one about the lamp that switched itself off and on when no one was around. The same rhythm, the same timing. It only happened once that night, but that was enough. Because he knew what that meant. It had found them again. His new room looked out over a slope of trees. The base was ringed by forest and foothills, and from his window he could see the tree line stretching for miles. The room itself was a twin. Two beds divided by a single window. One for him, one for his brother, when he came home. He always took the right bed because of the moonlight. Around midnight, it would fall through the glass like milk, painting his blanket silver in the opposite wall in pale reflections. It was peaceful, almost hypnotic, until the night it wasn't. He woke up to see shadows moving across that same wall, long shapes that swayed and ducked like someone pacing just outside the window. He waited, listening for wind, for leaves, for any sign of a storm. There was none. The shapes kept moving, sharper now, and he told himself it had to be deer again. Colorado was full of them, and they liked to wander close to the houses. His father had even mentioned that the deer bedded down early, usually by 9 or 10. But this was well after midnight, and these weren't deer. These were upright. On the fifth night, curiosity won over fear. He told himself he was being ridiculous. That he'd feel stupid in the morning if he didn't look. He rolled to the side, drew the blinds, and looked out. At first, all he saw was movement, shifting of darkness inside darkness. Then something leaned forward from behind one of the porch supports, a face, pale, featureless, except for two eyes reflecting the moonlight, a mouth bent into something between a smirk and a snarl. It didn't move closer, didn't retreat, it just watched. The longer he looked, the more real it became, until the expression changed, those eyes widening, like someone realizing they'd been seen. He jumped back, heart in his throat, yanked the blinds closed, and turned on every light in the room. He didn't sleep. He didn't even blink toward the window again. And from that night on, he never slept with the blinds open. The next few nights brought sound, laughter, soft and jagged, threading through the rustle of trees. It came every few nights, like the ghost of a routine. Sometimes he'd hear it before bed, sometimes just before dawn. Always distant, always enough to make him feel like someone was keeping time with him. Then came the dream. He was walking through the back door, sunlight slanting through the kitchen. The smell of coffee and toast drifted through the air. For a moment, it felt like an ordinary morning. Then he saw the man. He sat at the table near the door, legs crossed, a newspaper folded in his lap. But what fixed him in place was the mask. Yellow, smooth, the kind of mask that hides nothing except what matters most. The man looked up from the paper, met his eyes, and began to laugh. Not cruelly, but calmly, as though he'd been waiting to be noticed. He woke up standing in the middle of his room, heart hammering, the echo of that laughter still in his ears. The face, its yellow hue, its grin, burned behind his eyelids whenever he blinked. He couldn't shake the sense that he'd been shown something rather than dreamed it. He never saw the yellow mask again, but the laughter that followed it seemed to find new ways to reach him. Months passed, then years. His father retired and the family finally stopped moving. They settled into a home that was meant to be permanent. Quiet neighborhood, good school, walls still white from fresh paint. It should have been the end of it. It wasn't. Within 4 months, it started again. Every night around midnight, he'd head to the bathroom, brush his teeth, and wash his face before bed. Half the time, he'd hear it, the sound of footsteps coming up the stairs. Not heavy, not faint, just approaching. Each time, he'd freeze with a towel in his hand, straining to hear if it was one of his siblings. Every time, he'd peek around the corner. Every time, there was nothing there. Then came the giggling. It was faint, high, and young. A girl's voice somewhere below him, followed by the sound of something scrambling, like bare feet trying to hide behind furniture. He wasn't alone in hearing it. His brother heard it too, as did his sister. Sometimes they'd all be walking up the stairs together and feel a whisper pass between them, soft, unintelligible, brushing the edge of their ears. It was never clear enough to make out, but clear enough to know it was real. The worst part? It didn't feel like one of the old hauntings that arrived and left on schedule. It felt like something that had finally settled in. Something that had decided to stay. The footsteps kept coming. The laughter kept rising through the floorboards. And somewhere in the back of his mind, he started to understand the truth he'd been avoiding his whole life. Maybe it wasn't the houses. Maybe it was him. The new house had a basement, cool, half-finished, the kind of space that never truly feels empty even when the lights are on. His sister's room was down there, tucked into the far corner near the bathroom, while the couch he sometimes used for guests sat against the opposite wall. When their grandparents came to visit, his room upstairs went to them. He volunteered to take the couch. It wasn't bad, really. The air down there stayed cold even in summer, and the hum of the furnace had a steady rhythm that made it easier to sleep. For a few nights, everything was fine. Then came the night his sister saw him. She told him about it the next morning over breakfast, casual at first, like she wasn't sure whether to joke about it or not. "You were really freaking me out last night," she said, spoon clinking against her cereal bowl. He frowned. "What are you talking about?" "I got up to use the bathroom around 2, she said. "You were on the couch, under the blanket, laughing." He stopped mid-bite. "Laughing?" "Yeah. I said your name, but you didn't answer. You were just kind of shaking, like giggling really hard. I thought you were sleep laughing or something, so I didn't mess with you. I went to the bathroom and hurried back to my room because, honestly, you were scaring me." He didn't know what to say. Because he hadn't been in the basement, not even close. That night, his grandparents had both been snoring away in his bed upstairs, and he'd taken the guest mattress in the spare room on the other side of the house. He hadn't come downstairs once. She didn't believe him at first. She kept describing what she'd seen. The blanket pulled up over his shoulders, the faint sound of laughter that got louder the closer she walked past the couch. How his face never showed, but she swore it was his shape, his height, his way of sitting. He couldn't shake it. Because in every other house they'd lived in, something had learned to imitate sound. Knocks that copied the rhythm of his own heartbeat. Footsteps that mirrored his. Now maybe it had found a new trick, copying the body it had been following all along. He didn't tell his parents about that one. They'd already decided his stories were something he'd grow out of. He didn't want to see that look again, the one that said, "We love you, but we don't believe you." But he did tell his brother, who just sat quietly for a while before saying, "Maybe it's not the places. Maybe it's following you." That thought stayed with him like a stone in his shoe. Because deep down, he already knew. He'd known since Pennsylvania, since the footsteps that rushed toward his bed and stopped just shy of his face. It had never been about location. It had always been about attention, and he'd been giving it his for years. Once you see something, it sees you back. After that, the house's rhythm changed again. At first, it was small, a door left half open, footsteps on the stairs when everyone was asleep. Then came the laughter again. Not from the trees this time, but from the walls. It wasn't constant. It came and went, like a breath. Some nights, it was just a whisper, a soft, girlish giggle from somewhere down the hall when he brushed his teeth at midnight. He'd hear the faint scuffle of feet retreating toward the stairs, the shuffle of someone trying to hide. Every time he'd check, there was nothing there. No one awake, his sister asleep, his parents' door closed. He stopped checking. After a while. Because each time he did, it felt like whatever was down there learned a little more about what scared him. Then came the whispers. They weren't words, at least not words he could understand. Just a soft, breathy murmur that seemed to hover an inch from his ear. Sometimes it was only a syllable, a half laugh, a noise meant to sound like thought. Other times it was longer, like the cadence of someone telling a story underwater. Once, when he was walking up the stairs, he heard it so close to his left ear that he actually felt breath move his hair. His brother heard it too, both of them stopping halfway up, both turning, both pretending. The other had said something, neither had. It happened again the next night, then again a week later, always at the same spot on the staircase. After that, he avoided the stairs after dark, timing his nights so he'd be upstairs before midnight. It didn't help, because the thing that follows you doesn't care what floor you're on. He started having dreams again, some clear, some fractured. One night, he saw the yellow-masked man sitting at the kitchen table again, newspaper open. This time, the man didn't laugh. He just looked up and spoke one word. Move! He woke up in a sweat, listening to the old house breathe. The fridge hummed, the pipes ticked, and somewhere beneath all of it, he heard the sound of someone walking through the basement, slow and deliberate. The boards creaked one by one as though they were testing their own weight. He didn't sleep the rest of the night. When he tried to talk about it, the conversations always ended the same way, with a smile and a shake of the head. His parents said stress, his friends said dreams, his sister said imagination. But the thing about imagination is that it doesn't leave footprints, it doesn't knock on doors, it doesn't laugh when you close your eyes. He knew what he'd felt, he knew what he'd seen. And as much as he tried to reason with it, to name it, to understand it, the truth remained the same. Wherever he went, it went too. Sometimes, late at night, he'd test it, just to see if it still cared enough to answer. He'd sit in his room with the light off, phone screen dimmed, the house asleep. Then he'd whisper, "Are you there?" Most nights there'd be nothing, but every so often something would move. A tap from the far end of the wall. A single creak from the hallway floor. The faintest sigh of warm air brushing across his cheek, just like that first night in Pennsylvania. He didn't know if it was mocking him or reassuring him. He just knew it was listening. It's strange, the way familiarity replaces fear. After years of living like this, the unknown had become ordinary. He still didn't like it, but he understood it in the way people understand storms. You can't stop them. You can only know when they're coming. He learned their timing, the nights when the footsteps grew restless, the hours when the air in the stairwell grew thick, the moments before laughter started like static before thunder. He learned to let them pass, and yet some nights, when the sound returned stronger, when the giggle from the hall became a full laugh, when the soft whisper by his ear turned into a word he almost recognized, he'd feel something else underneath the fear. Recognition? A thought so small and sharp it scared him more than the ghosts ever could. What if the thing that followed him all these years wasn't something attached to him, but something that was him? What if the shadow behind the door, the face in the trees, the voice on the stairs, what if those were pieces of himself left behind in every house, finally learning how to come home? He doesn't try to solve it anymore. He doesn't record or investigate, and he's done chasing proof. Some nights when he brushes his teeth and hears the soft shuffle on the stairs behind him, he doesn't flinch. He just says, "I know." and finishes washing his face. Sometimes it stops, sometimes it doesn't, but every once in a while on the quiet nights when even the air feels patient, he'll hear it close to his ear just above a whisper, a giggle, or maybe a breath, or maybe both. And that's when he remembers the first lesson he ever learned about hauntings. You can move across the country, change houses, change lives, change everything. But if the ghost is you, you never really leave.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spend on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more
Moto
details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more
Moto
details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spend on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more
Moto
details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.